It's good to be here with you today and to bring you God's Word.
Amen.
Now, whether you were happy or unhappy about the results yesterday, let me just say this, it makes no difference. Politics are not the answer to our country. Every time we think that they are and people put so much hope and trust in a new leader or a new party coming in, now the only hope for Australia is Jesus. Amen? And we know that of a truth. And I want to speak to you today from a very well-known psalm, Psalm 23. It's a psalm of David, and most of you will know this off by heart. And I'm speaking from this psalm, and I'm reading from this psalm from in the NIV version, the New International Version, I'm sure that you'll know the psalm very, very well. I spoke to you from this psalm when we did a family camp one time, but I'm taking a different angle this time to what I did then. So I'm going to start, I'll read the psalm, and it is a beautiful, beautiful psalm, the Psalm of David's. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I want to take a little bit of a different tack to this psalm, and I really feel that God laid this on my heart, and I think he's going to minister specifically to someone today, but I believe he's going to minister to us all. It's for us all, but specifically, there's someone here that God is specifically speaking to. David, of course, used to be a shepherd. He started his life off as a shepherd, a peasant boy in the hills of Bethlehem looking after his father's sheep. He understood all about sheep. I believe he wrote this psalm not when he was a shepherd. I believe he wrote this psalm many, many years later when he'd become a king, established on his throne. Now, if you know anything about the life of David, you know that David's life was a life of struggle, a life of fighting, a life of survival. Many times he faced death. Many battles he faced. But when you read this psalm, it's almost as if the guy that wrote it doesn't know what trouble is. You think about it. David was a fighting man. In fact, he was not allowed to build the temple because of the blood that was on his hands through warfare. Not bad blood, but blood God had used him as a judgment tool against many other nations. And David had survived incredible odds. Even the King Saul, his own king, was against him and wanted to kill him. So he's had a life full of strife. Now, try and understand that when I read this again. Here's a man who knows what war, want is, what it is to be hounded, and then to become a king over the Jewish nation. And can I say, being a leader over the Jews was very difficult. Anybody who led the Jewish nation were in for a tough, tough time. Even in for a harder time than people who were prime ministers of Australia. In Israel, they were a bunch of people made up of 12 tribes, and it was hard, hard work. So David's life was a hard life. He died at the age of 70. And the Bible says he lived to a ripe old age, 70. Well, we don't regard that as a ripe old age today, would we? But the reason why it says it was a ripe old age, because for what he went through, and the toll that it took on him physically, to get to 70 was pretty good going, okay? So that's why that is. So think of this. David, God understood the hardships that he had. And then David says, when he was on the throne, established as a king, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name. That doesn't sort of sound like a guy that's full of strife for warfare, does it? It's a beautiful psalm. He's writing this psalm from his heart. He's looking through all the battles of life that he's had, and in them all, he sees the hand of God. What I like about this is he knew that when he was a shepherd, his job was to look after the sheep. He knew that he had to take the sheep into green pastures. To make the sheep lie down in green pastures, they got plenty to eat. That's what that means. Lie down in green pastures means there's plenty of food there. You don't have to keep moving around until the pasture is completely eaten out. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me or leads me in the paths of righteousness, the right paths for his name's sake. Now, before I go any further, I've got to ask you a question. Everybody listen to this. Are you following God, or is God following you? Are you following God, or is God following you? When David starts his psalm, he's talking about God leading us. Us following him. To follow God means that we will lie down in green pastures. He will lead us beside quiet waters. He will restore our soul, and he leads us and guides us in the right paths. Green pastures stand for provision and prosperity. Quiet waters stand for peace and joy. And the right paths talk about protection. David is saying that God has provided for me. He's prospered me. He's given me peace and joy. And he has protected me. He has provided. He has prospered. He has given me peace. And he has protected me. That's what David is saying from those few lines that we have read. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Can I have some feedback here? Isn't that wonderful? Wake up, everybody. We're not going to go to sleep. I know you got fed up of all the politics. We're not talking politics now. We're talking reality. We're talking truth. We're talking God. We're talking Jesus. So listen to what I got to say. Isn't it a wonderful thing that David is saying, God has provided, God has led me in peace, and God has protected me? That's what he is saying. He knew what it was to go through many hardships, but he could say in this psalm, I'm seated now on the throne. There were times when he probably thought he'd never get there. You know, there were times when he doubled forth, like, I'm not going to make it, but he did. God led him through, and here he is. I want to tell you something. I think at times we need to be positive in God. One of the things I'm finding more and more is that Christians are not positive enough in God. One of the big problems we have as human beings is that we take things for granted. If a good thing is given to us, we really like it. But if it's given to us again and again and again, if I give you a T-bone steak today, you might love it. But if I fed you a T-bone steak for 2 months, you'd want to spit it out. That's human nature. We get used to what we've got. One of the reasons why we've just kicked the Premier out was because we got used to him. He was a wonderful man when he first came in. So was Barack Obama, a wonderful man. He was going to be the savior. I don't know about this one that they've got now, whether they'll ever get used to him. But we get used to things, don't we? And we take things for granted. You get used to your husband. You get used to your wife. You get used, well, no, you never get used to your kids. But you know what I mean? They get used to you. You sort of take things for granted. You moved into your house at some stage. You thought, what a lovely house this is. And you really appreciated it. But after a while, you just take it for granted. You perhaps get hold of a new car and you get into that car. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. But after a while, you just take it for granted. That is a failure in human nature. And can I say we do that with God? We do that with God. When we first get saved, it's wonderful, marvelous, glorious. We're saved. We're born again. Our sins are washed away. We've been given the gift of eternal life. Friends, nothing is better and nothing is greater than that. If you never had anything else in this lifetime, never had anything, but you know you've been given the gift of eternal life, that should put a joy in your heart and a smile on your face every day. Amen? It's the greatest gift of all. People are seeking to live longer and longer and longer. And that, you know what? They're trying to make us live longer with drugs and chemicals. They want us to live longer. Used to be 70. That was the average. Now it's well into the 85, 90 and 100. They want us to live longer. But the trouble about living longer, for most people, it means living longer miserable. Come on, doesn't it mean just an extension of misery, an extension of loneliness? Come on, an extension of unfulfilled dreams. But and people, they'll still want to live longer. They'll do anything and everything to try to keep living. Well, praise God. Just take a look at me. You are looking at a man that will never die. Come on. I will never die. There's not a weapon been invented that's big enough or strong enough to destroy this character. You are looking at an eternal being. I ain't ever going to... Don't look at me like that. I'm never going to die. Neither are you if you're a Christian. No, death has been done away with to Christians. All you've got to do is fall asleep and wake up in the presence of Jesus. Come on! There's no death to us. It's only life, life, and more life. Friends, we should never get used to that fact that our sins have been forgiven. By the way, your sins were forgiven. And some of you, what a ragtag bunch you were. Thank God he forgave you. Some of you did some horrible, nasty, terrible, rotten things. And he forgave you. And when he forgave you, you said, oh, thank you, Lord. But you've got used to it. Come on. We get used to it. I love this. David's looking back over a life of turmoil, but he's not looking at the turmoil. He's saying, in it all, God, you led me. In it all, I had a peace that brought me through. In spite of it all, I came through. And he says, I will praise the Lord at all times. And his praise will always be on my lips. David was a man of praise because he never took God for granted. He always followed God. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Do you know, people take church for granted. And we shouldn't. There's many times I've come into church and I've been drained. I felt a bit dry. I've sat down, listened to the worship, joined in with the worship, and felt the presence of God just lift me. Church isn't something you think, let's get in there and get it over and done with. Let's get out as quick as we can. No, don't think like that. We come into the presence of the Lord and we're praising Him. Why? Because we've been following Him. And I ask you the question, are you following Him or is He following you? David says something incredibly wonderful. You lead me, you guide me. You've fed me, you've protected me, you've given me your peace. Thank you. And then I noticed something that I hadn't noticed before, and this is where I want to put a bit of a switch on this psalm that I've not seen before. He says, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So he's talking about God. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Then look at the next verse, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I've not seen this before. David isn't saying God leads me in the valley of the shadow of death. He said, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Isn't that interesting? It's not God's leading me in the valley of the shadow of death, but David knows that the life in which we live, valleys come. Dark times come. Don't tell me when you go through a dark time that God's led you through it or into it. No, he hasn't. He'll lead you through it, but he hasn't led you into it. See, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. That's why what our brother said this morning that was leading the singing. He said, there's things that's happening in his life. I don't know what they are, but things that could cause fear. But he says, I'm not afraid. Isn't that good? Come on. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. Now, the valley of the shadow of death, we'll all go through them. There's been many valleys in my life, many. It can be a death of a loved one. It can be physical sickness in your body. It can be lack of finance. It can be kids that are wayward. It can be a marriage that's on the rocks. It can be a lot of things. Valleys are different things to different people. Don't tell me God's led you there, because sometimes we get there by ourselves. We get there by mistakes. We get there sometimes because we're not following him. And we find ourselves... Now, they tell me that in Israel, there was an actual valley that, in the Asian days, that they used to call the Valley of the Shadow of Death, that the shepherds had to go up and down this valley. And so when David's writing, he's talking about a literal physical valley, but he's also talking about the valleys that's been in his life when Saul wanted to kill him. When his own son rose up against him and wanted to kill him. When he mucked it up and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. That was a valley. That was a dark, dark valley for David. Sometimes those valleys that he faced were not his doing. Other times the valleys he faced was his doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Valleys come. Valleys come because of the world in which we live. Valleys come because out there is sin. People don't talk about it. People don't want to talk about it. But out there, there's immorality. Out there, there's evil. Out there, there's violence. There's anger. Out there, there's lust. There's greed. There's pride. There's prejudice out there. And those things, if we're not careful, lead us into valley of darkness. Valley of the shadow of death. Now, the shadow of death for a Christian doesn't really mean that we're afraid of death. It really means a valley of darkness. Because I've said to you earlier, we're not going to die. None of us should be afraid of death. Can I say that to you? How many people here this morning would say to me, John, I'm a born-again Christian. Let me see by the showing of your hands, how many of you? Good, that's most of you, if not all of you. Now, do you know what? Don't be afraid of death. Don't care how young you are or how old you are. Don't be afraid of death, because it's not going to happen. You just fall asleep and wake up in the presence of Jesus. There is no death to a Christian. So the valley of the shadow of death here isn't talking about dying as if I don't want to die, I'll fight not to. I have, over the years, been at the graveside of many, many people. And I've actually been at the deathbed of many people. I've been with people as they've actually died. I've had people die in my arms, being in the ministry. People who've died who are non-Christians and people who've died who are Christians. There's a marked difference between people who are Christians and non-Christians when they face death. I'm telling you, there's a marked difference, a sense of peace and a sense of serenity over them who know the Lord, because they know where they're going. They're going home. Do you know what's like? So don't be afraid of death. But this valley of the shadow of death, we better call it a dark valley, because we do go through dark valleys. We do have times of trauma. We do have times of sadness and distress. We do have times of loneliness. These things hit us. And at that time, and we don't say God sent us through, God's led. No, no, no. This is what David says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, because you are with me.
Isn't that wonderful?
Isn't it wonderful to know that if you go off the rails, he's still with you? But what is he doing? Following you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You're in the valley, but he's following you. Some people go in the valley because it's not their own mistake, and God is not just following you, he's right by your side. Other people go into the valley because of lust, because of sin, because of greed, because of anger. But God doesn't forsake them, but he follows them. He's not leading them, he's not guiding them, but he's following them. Your rod, said David, and your staff, they comfort me. What a comfort to know that even though I go through a dark experience, God, you didn't leave me. You didn't stop at the valley entrance and say, okay, get on with it. No, you're following me through there. You haven't led me, but you are following me. Can you see what I'm saying? What is it? Are you following God, or is God following you? If you have failed God, and if you've walked away from God, and if your heart has grown cold, can I tell you what he's doing? He's following you. He wants to get you back. You know, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Talking of Jesus. The Bible likens us to sheep. Sheep. How many of you know sheep are about the most stupid critter that you can get? Sheep are so stupid that, listen to this, you can't find wild sheep. You can find wild goats. They're cleverer than sheep. But you know, sheep, of all our feral animals that are out, I think I told you this before, all the feral animals that are out in the wilderness, we've got camels, horses, donkeys, buffaloes, all sorts of things are out there. But you can't go out and find any wild sheep. Do you know why? They get killed. They don't know how to look after themselves. Sheep get killed. Sheep need a shepherd. Because if there's no shepherd watching over them, then they will die. They will go astray. They'll go into places where they shouldn't go, and they can't get out of those places. Or they will go into where there's animals that are against them that would kill them and attack them. Predators. Sheep are stupid creatures. And the Bible says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We do. Don't look at me so spiritual. Don't look at me so sophisticated. Not I, Pastor. I would never. You go astray. Look, I don't care how you look physically. In your brain, in your mind, you stray. In your mind, you blow it. In your mind, you muck it up. All we like sheep have gone astray. Jesus told a parable of do you remember the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son? Do you remember that? And in each case, what was lost, the coin, the sheep, and the son, then somebody went to look for it. The shepherd went to look for the sheep. What was the shepherd doing when the sheep got lost? The shepherd was following the sheep. The sheep should have been following the shepherd, but something's happened. He's gone through a valley of the shadow of death. But the shepherd didn't give up. The shepherd went after the sheep to try to bring the sheep back. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A shepherd would have the shepherd's rod, the staff, you know, with a hook on the end. And that was a sense of comfort to the sheep, because he used that sheep to drive off wild prey animals. And he used that hook to bring a sheep out of water or quagmire or something it's fallen into. That rod meant the safety of the sheep. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid, because you're with me. Your rod, your staff, they are the comfort to me. You're not going to leave me alone. Jesus said an absolutely wonderful thing. I'm with you always. I'll never leave you. I'm with you always to the ends of the earth. And in Hebrews it says, he will never leave us or forsake us. And the word in the Greek, that Hebrew word, he will never leave us, is a very strong word. It means he will never, never
Never, 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 never leave us.
So, I don't know you people, most of you don't know you personally, so I don't know what you're going through, but I know God's laid this on my heart. I don't know what valley you may be in. It might be a valley of your own wrongdoing, foolishness. It might be a valley that you didn't really have anything to do with, but nevertheless, you got caught up in something that pulled you, sucked you into that valley. And so you find yourself not following, but being followed by God. I don't care how far you sink, and I don't care how dark it becomes, He will never leave you or forsake you. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus Christ, when He was on the cross, was the loneliest man in the world. He knew what it was to be left alone. His disciples were afraid. Most had run and gone. When Caiaphas, I think it was, asked Him, when he was judging Jesus, he asked Him about His doctrine and His disciples. And Jesus answered only about His doctrine. He didn't say anything about His disciples. Do you know why? Because He got nothing to say about them. They're gone. You know, but He wasn't going to say anything bad neither. Do you know what I love that about Jesus? He might sometimes not have anything good to say about you, but He ain't going to say anything bad about you. That's a wonderful personality that He is. And so His disciples had left Him. And then they nailed Him to the Roman gibbet, to the cross. And what did He say on the cross? My God, why have You left Me? Why have You forsaken Me? At that moment in time, Jesus Christ was the loneliest man on earth. He knew what loneliness was. Not separation just from people, but separation from God. He bore that for you and me. So Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You who follow Me, I will keep following you. I'll never leave you in that shadow of death, that shadow of darkness. I am with you. Do you think that's a wonderful thought? Come on, don't you think that's a marvelous thought? Friends, He's with you. Hardness of heart is what we create. God never makes our hearts hard if we're His children. He doesn't do that. Hardness of heart is out there amongst many people. And if you're not a Christian, maybe you've got a hard heart. But that's not God's doing. That's your doing for shutting Him off. That is your doing. I was in somebody's house the other day, and they had a television on for the kids. It was in the morning. I was talking to this person, and I was just listening to the background. It was some cartoon thing that was on, and this guy was talking, and all the time he was saying, "Oh my God, this was for kids. Oh my God, oh my God." When he was talking about different things, it came up over and over again. Do you know what? It absolutely offended me. And I told the person, I just want you to know that that's worse language you could let your kids hear, because that's blasphemy against God. I said, that's the worst. If it was me, I'd switch that off. I told them straight. I hate to hear. And this was in a Christian home. Do you hear what I'm saying? In a Christian home. I understand non-Christians, but not in Christian homes. Sometimes, you know what that sort of thing does? Hardens the heart. When we start to disobey, when we start to not pay homage to God and to worship Him, our hearts are becoming hard. Now, I don't know all you people, like I've said, and so I don't know how you was worshipping or not worshipping. He does. He can see your heart. Is your heart hard? If you come in here this morning, and because it's just another church service, and you know, it's going to go on for 30 minutes singing, I just would just wait and get it over with. Or did you actually enter in and say, God, I love You. God, You're wonderful. God, You're glorious. I don't want my heart to be hard. I've got to guard that. God doesn't do that. You do that. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But you've got to keep your heart soft and supple before Him. Can you say amen to that? Are you following God? Or today, is God following you? Is God trying to retrieve you? Are you like a sheep that's gone astray and God's saying, come on, Jesus, come after you. By the way, I love that. He's a good shepherd. When David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I think that David was a man beyond his times. He had an understanding about God which was incredible. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in want. And then all those years later, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Identifying himself with God. Identifying himself with that psalm. That's why the Pharisees thought he was blaspheming all the time. Because he was always identifying who he was. God, the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I want to go through this life with my eyes always fixed on him, and I always want to make sure that I am being led by him. Listen to this. If I've got to have my eyes fixed on you, what have I got to be doing? Looking at you. If God is following you, you ain't looking at him. Come on, is that not true? If, you know, the shepherd in those days always walked in front of the sheep with a rod and staff. The sheep followed the shepherd. The sheep knew and heard the shepherd's voice and knew the shepherd's voice, and they had their eyes on the shepherd. When the sheep took their eyes off the shepherd, that's when they would go astray. But they saw the shepherd, they followed him. But listen, if the sheep are in front of the shepherd, they can't see the shepherd. If the shepherd has to follow them, they're not looking at the shepherd. I ask you this question because God laid it on my heart. It was one of those messages I felt strong about. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw the towel in. I'm not going to lay down and give it all because you're with me. I don't understand how I got in this problem, Lord. I don't understand how my heart's become a bit hard. I don't understand what has happened to bring me to a place where I'm not seeing you. But you've not left me. I may not be following you, but you are following me. And you know, when he has to follow us, sometimes he has to go to places where he don't want to go. Can I say that again? Did you get me? When he's following us, he has to go to places where he doesn't want to go. Where he'd rather not go, but that's where you've gone. And he loves you, and he wants to get hold of you and draw you back to himself. So he follows you into places that are dark and dismal. And when we talk about dark places, we could talk about satanic influence, evil influence that comes into our life. And yeah, Christians can get evil influence in their life. Satanic influence can come there. And he is following us to bring us out of that, to set us absolutely free and put us on the right path. Even though I walk, this is David talking, even though I walk, not God, you've led me in the valley of shadow of death. No. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it sort of comes to a sense of, I'm not going to be alone. Because you're with me, your staff, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Then look at the next verse immediately. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In that valley, God can make you a beautiful feast if you stop and think, God, I'm going to turn to you. God, I'm going to follow you. And what he then does is he gives us provision. He gives us protection. He gives us guidance. He watches over us. And he prepares a table. That means a feast. Is there anybody here that likes food? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody likes food? Come on. A lot of you don't put your hands up, strange people. Because I tell you what I am. I'm addicted to food. I can't live without it. Come on. Don't look at me so... Look at me so spiritual again, this lad. It's the truth. We like food, don't we? Come on. Let's be honest. We like to go out for a meal. We like a good meal cooked for us. We like... There's something about our taste. God has done a wonderful thing. He's given us taste buds. Can you imagine what life would be like without taste buds? without the sense of beautiful smell of the fruit. Well, can you imagine how, well, you wouldn't pay a fortune to go for a meal if you didn't have any taste buds? Come on, is that true? You wouldn't bother spending that sort of money. But you're going to get your taste buds satisfied. God's given us taste buds. He wants us to be blessed with the food that we eat. But there's spiritual food that we've got to get taste buds for. Come on. Love. Compassion. Forgiveness. I want to keep my taste buds for them. I want him to keep forgiving me. I want to have compassion on other people. I want him to prepare for me a table in the presence of my enemies. And on that table, there's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I want my taste buds to be satisfied with them. The power of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, forgiveness, cleansing, sanctify. I want my palate to be filled, spiritual palate to be filled with that. So right in the presence, this is a word for you, in that valley of the shadow of death, we've just recognized your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Wow, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You're not going to let them get me. I'm not going to become their food. You're preparing a table for me in their presence. I'm going to eat from you. When I was with you down at the camp, I came to the part, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I told you what I thought that meant. And because we don't remember things very well, I'm going to tell you again. What does a rod and a staff represent? What do you think David, when he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me? What was he thinking? What was the rod and the staff from God's point of view? How does God lead us? How does God guide us? How does God actually lead you and me? Do you know what the staff represents? Do you know what the leading and that represents? It represents the word of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That scripture was spoken by someone who knew what it was to look after sheep in those days. Because they used to have a strange shoe with a lamp on it. And in the, when it was the darkest nights and the shepherds were having to walk, their shoe, as they put the foot in front of the other one, lit up the path before them so they could see that they weren't going to fall into a hole or into a quagmire. It was a light. And your word is a light to my path. Your word lights the way for me. How do I know I'm being led by God? Because I know his word. Come on. If you don't know the word of God, how are you going to be led? Come on. It's a word that leads us. The Holy Spirit uses God's word to bring it alive in us. But we've got to read it. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And when they used to go through this valley, this dark valley, I told you this as well, but I'll repeat it. I'm nearly finished. They used to sometimes go through as the sun was setting. And there was high cliffs on both sides of this dark valley, narrow valley, pathway. Either side of the pathway, you could easily fall off. Or there could be also wild animals in there. And so when the sun was setting, the valley got dark. It wasn't dark out there, but in the valley it was dark. And the sheep could not see the shepherd. So what the shepherd would do with the staff, he'd hit it on the ground as hard as he can. Bang! 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 He was doing two things. He was testing the ground before him. And the sheep could hear the sound. And they followed the sound. Because in darkness, you can't always see. But you can always read the word of God and hear the word of God. Do you see what I'm saying? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In the midst of darkness, a lot of you people here know scriptures. Some of you don't. I feel sorry for you. Seriously, I feel sorry for you. Some of you don't. A lot of you know scriptures. And when a darkness comes, a scripture comes to your mind. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. A scripture's come. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I am more than conqueror through him who loved me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When you know the scripture, it's your rod and your staff that gives you comfort and strength to bring you through the dark moments. God doesn't lead you into the wilderness. He doesn't lead you into the valley of darkness. But he brings you through the valley of darkness if you put your trust in him. Amen. Then I like this next verse. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I have to tell you, at times, spiritually, I felt thirsty. Spiritually. Because I've not been looking in the right direction. I've been walking the wrong way. And sometimes I felt spiritually dry. But how wonderful it is when you come to the Lord. Because James says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. He's never that far away. And then you're suddenly, your thirst is quenched. My cup overflows. I'm not being rude by what I'm saying now, but I'm going to say it. And if you don't ask me back again, tough. Some of you are not overflowing. Your cup isn't. Some of you got a little bit dry. Some of you have got to a place where your cup is not overflowing. Some people, as I've said, are more interested in what's happening in the world than they are in what's happening in your heart with God. The joy of the Lord is our... Come on, you know that scripture, don't you? The joy of the Lord is our... Now this time I want you to shout it. The joy of the Lord is our... Yeah. Just think what you've just said. Just think what you've just said. That's a scripture. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not politics. Not Facebook. Not Twitter. Not Messenger. None of those things are your strength. But the joy of the Lord is. And his joy comes as it bubbles up within us. Our cup overflows. Amen. Can you see what I'm saying here? It's the joy of the Lord. I walk through this world as you do, and I want to keep walking. Listen to this. I want to keep on walking, following him. I don't want to lose sight. I don't want to get to a place where, God, where are you? But he's following me then. Come on, John, this way. No, I want to keep following him. Have I always followed him in the 60-odd years that I've been a Christian? No, I haven't. There have been times I've been very, very naughty. There have been times I've been very, very foolish and hard. And you suffer for it. David knew what it was when he did that. And he committed adultery with Bathsheba. I want to tell you, he suffered for that. He suffered big time because he was in a dark valley. But guess what? God sent a prophet to him. And he put him right. And he repented. And he started to look to the Lord again and be blessed. Do you know what? God never ever brought that up against him. No. It's only recorded once. Only recorded once. And after that, God never brought it up against him. Because he repented. He got his heart right. And he went on with God. We all fail. But come on. Let's go on with God. Let's get up, dust ourselves down, say, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. Jesus, wash me in your blood, and Holy Spirit, feed me with your word. Well, that's my message finished. Except to say this, surely goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life. And notice how, look how he's saying it, follow me. So no matter what we go through, there's always mercy and love there following you. Come on, always. And if you're a bit dry this morning, if you didn't enter into worship this morning, don't come under condemnation, come under conviction. Amen. He don't want to condemn you. He wants you to say, come on now, that was not the right thing to do. You're in my presence. I've been waiting for you to come. You've had a whole week out there. You've come in here for an hour. What do you do? Nothing. You just think about what you're going to have for dinner. Or you think about what you did the night before. And God's saying, don't do that. Get your heart supple and soft with me so that I can continue to pour into you and prepare prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Amen. Now, because I felt this is, it's for all of us, I've ministered to myself as well today, but there was specifically, I felt in my spirit as I was praying over this message, that God's going to speak to somebody specifically, maybe more than one, I don't know how many. But I want to give you an opportunity. If you know God's spoken to you because you're in some sort of a valley, it could be your own doing, it could be a set of circumstances that's brought you there, but you know you're in that valley, and that valley is, man, it means you're not following God, but God's following you. I want to pray for you if you want to say, I've had enough of this valley. I want him to bring me right out of it. I want him to take me through this thing, bring me, and I want to follow him out of the valley. I walked into it, but I don't want to walk out of it. I want to follow him out of it. Do you see what I get? What way I'm coming from? If that's you this morning, can I pray for you? I really feel that God wants me to pray for you. I'm not going to take a long time, but I really feel to lay hands on somebody here that God's spoken to. And if it's you, would you just get up from your seat and come and stand with me just now? And let me pray with you, because I really believe God's speaking. God bless you, brother. Thank you. Anybody else? If you know it's you, don't stay there. Come and just stand with me.
Can I get the musicians to come forward, please? Thank you.
God bless you. Come a little bit closer to us. Come on. God bless. Now I'm going to pray for these people that's come out. Is there anyone else that needs prayer? Now, I don't know what your valleys are unless God starts to give me words of knowledge, but that really doesn't matter, does it? Because he knows. And it's, you're not dealing with me today. I've just been a spokesman. You're dealing with God. So I'm just going to just lay my hand on you very quickly, go down the line. That's what I'm going to do. And so you're going to, when you go out of this place, in your mind, try to think, I'm walking out of this valley, but I'm following him. Try and think that. Amen.